Last week, if you still remember, we have the first topic that we started on the mark of true greatness. And further down the road, from now till the end of the year, God willing, we will be looking at the marks of the effective personal ministry, the marks of mission-minded Christian, the marks of a faithful church, the marks of a faithful congregation, the marks of a faithful preacher, and the marks of true spiritual service, and the marks of true spiritual unity. And so, we'll be learning from the Word of God various important characteristics that will help us in our Christian growth, and also remind us from the Word of God how you and I ought to strive and press on and reach towards the mark that the Word of God has given to us. And this afternoon, we will be looking in this topic called the marks of the committed Christian. The marks of the committed Christian. Now, this word commitment is a call that we face almost everywhere we go. If you are working, your company will ask you to be committed. You must be very committed to your work. And they will call you for this cry that you make sure you put your best effort in your job, give your 24/7 to the company. So commitment is everywhere. You are a student, the school will come to you and also ask you to be a committed student. You join any CCA, similarly, again, people will ask you, please be committed to the CCA, put in your best effort, come for every training, every activity. Now, when it comes to the spiritual realm, do you know that God also exhorts us, God also wants us to be committed? And we who are called Christians, the name Christ that we bear, the disciples of the Lord Jesus, and God also wants us to be committed. And this commitment is something that sometimes we take for granted. Oh, because it's a job and it's my boss, it's my salary, because it's a school that affects my grade, because it's a CCA and I will also be assessed by my teacher. And we take it seriously and we put in our best shot, best effort and our time for it. But when it comes to spiritual work, no one of us is going to get a report card at the end of this year by the church session that give you a grade whether you're A or B or C. No one is going to come to you and say that, oh, you have failed, right, in your commitment. And so, very naturally, a lot of time we take it for granted, and we do not think that it is so necessary. And so a lot of us slack in our spiritual life. A lot of us become very complacent. And sometimes coming to church, for many Christians, it is just a ceremony, a religious ceremony. Just go by it. Just fulfill the duty. Just clock my hours on a Sunday. Just give my tithes and offering. And if I choose to be involved in certain activities, that's about it I can do. And that's my commitment. Do not ask me to commit more than that. And so this afternoon, we must ask ourselves, what kind of Christian are you? What kind of Christian am I? Some who are sitting here, your answer may be a totally no. Not a committed person at all. Not a committed Christian. Because you have not known the Lord, you have not believed the Lord, and so commitment means nothing to you. But those of us who have believed the Lord and we call ourselves Christians, then the question is, if I have a scale from 1 to 10, of 1 of the least commitment, of 10 of the maximum commitment, where will you place yourself? What will you give yourself in your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you a committed Christian? Maybe I'm just one or two. No. That's good enough. Oh, I'm committed. 50% commitment. I think I'm happy. And some may say, yeah, I'm quite committed. Almost committed, 90%. But dearly beloved, this afternoon, I want you to learn from the Word of God that the Bible wants us to be 100% committed Christian. When you are 50%, do not be complacent. Do not think it is sufficient. I've done my part. You are at 90%, do not say to yourself, I'm better than the rest. But God wants us to be 100% committed to obey His word, you see. Remember each one of us as the day that we trusted and believed the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the day that you came to the Lord Jesus Christ and you say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I trusted in you. I believe in you. You are my Savior now. And I love you. I follow you. That zeal, that commitment, and that desire to follow the Lord, that fervent zeal that you have, is it still there today? After 1 year has passed, after a few years have passed, where is it now? Remember the last camp when some of you make your commitment and you say to the Lord, Lord, I'm going to follow you. Now 2014 in this year, sorry, it's 2013. 2013 in this year, I will do this for you. I will serve you. But 9 months have passed since the camp. What has happened to your commitment? What has happened to your promise to God? And maybe sometimes in our fellowship meeting, in our Sunday worship, and God speaks to your heart, and you make the commitment, and you say, Lord, I want to do this for you. But after a while, a week passed, a month passed, and our commitment just sway, and we just waver, and we slack. Are there visible signs? Are there distinguished marks that show that we are deeply committed Christian? Are there something in you and in me that we do? Some of us have symbols that we put to show that we are Christian. In our house, a lot of us may put a cross to show, oh, I am a Christian. This is a Christian family. Some of us will show that, oh, I wear a necklace, ladies, right, with a cross. Oh, I'm a committed. I'm a Christian, you see, I wear a cross. Some of us, in our office, in our own office space, we will put some Bible verses to show that, you see, I'm a Christian, that remind me of the Lord. And then young people, you may wear a t-shirt with Bible verses. You see, I'm a committed Christian. I magnify the Lord. I wear a t-shirt. And some of us in our car, we put some car decal and to say, praise the Lord. And that, you see, I'm a Christian driver. But let me say that all these external symbols and things that we put, I mean, it's wonderful. I'm not against it. It's nice. It's a good testimony. But it is still very superficial. They are just superficial external symbol that does not represent you to be a committed Christian. You can have a cross outside your house, but inside the house they're full of quarreling and argument. It does not tell you anyone that you are a committed Christian. You put a nice symbol or decal in your car, in the windscreen, and say, smile, Jesus loves you, but when you drive, you pow, 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 everybody, right? Ah, and then it's worse testimony than, you know, whatever you put on your car. See? And so external symbols do not mean much. Now I want you to turn to the Word of God, back to the passage that we have read in John chapter 13. Because from these few verses, from verse 31 to verse 38, you're going to learn three three marks of a committed Christian. See? From John chapter 13, verse 31 to verse 38. John chapter 13, verse 31 to verse 38. The Lord Jesus is going to tell the disciples three clear marks of a committed Christian. So turn your Bible, and that's the passage that we're going to meditate on and consider this afternoon. From verse 31 to verse 38, three clear marks of what is a committed Christian. Now when you come to John chapter 13, you must bear in mind that this is the Lord Jesus' earthly ministry coming to the end. Right, this is the night before he will be crucified. And so the Lord Jesus knew that he's going to die on the cross. And so when it comes to chapter 13, the Lord Jesus is going to spend the last few hours with his beloved disciples. And when that is the last few hours that the Lord knows that he's going to be with them on earth, he wants to give them important instructions. And so from actually chapter 13 verse 31 all the way to chapter 16 verse 33, if your Bible has all the red letters that show the sayings of the Lord Jesus, you find that they are almost all in red, right? If you have that. And you find that the Lord Jesus in the next few chapters, starting from chapter 13 verse 31, is going to spend the last few hours very close to the disciples, giving them important instructions, giving them commandments, warnings, promises, and to encourage them and to strengthen them in their faith. Because the disciples need it so much. The Lord Jesus is going to the cross and they're all going to flee away. And so the Lord Jesus started this last night before he's going to be betrayed and then he's going to be taken to be crucified. And from verse 31 to verse 38, the Lord started this instruction first of all by telling the disciples, I want you to be committed. You must be a committed disciple. Now, when you look at verse 31, therefore, when he was gone, this he refers to Judas Iscariot. Like the betrayer has already exceeded. Like the Lord has sent him off. The Lord knew that he was going to betray him. And so, what is left with the Lord Jesus are the 11 disciples. Just the 11 disciples. And the Lord is going to remind them and tell them, look, I'm going away. The Lord must die on the cross. The Lord Jesus will be ascended. I'm going away. I'm going to leave you. Right? In the earthly sense. You're not going to see my presence physically. And when I'm around, the Lord said, if people want to know the truth, they will come to me. If I'm around and present, if people want to know the gospel message, they will hear from me. But now I'm going away. And so you are the disciples that will remain behind. And you must now bear the mark of a true Christian. Because for all the people, if they want to hear the gospel, now they will turn to you. And they will look at you. They will look at your lives. If they want to know who God is, who Christ is, Jesus Christ is not going to be around anymore on this earth. And so the Lord is telling the disciples, they're going to look at you. And so this afternoon is the same. How will people know who Jesus is? How will people know what Christianity is all about? They're going to look at you and look at me because we are Christian. And if we do not bear what the Lord is going to tell us to be a committed Christian, and then it's going to bring shame to the Lord. And it's going to cause the world to say, what's the point of coming to church? What's the point of believing in Jesus when this is what Christian is all about? And so the commitment that the Lord wants the disciples to know is the same as for us to know. And because we are going to bear the message now for the Lord. So I'm going to give you three important points, three marks of the committed Christian. And you're going to learn that from, first of all, in verse 31 to verse 33, that the first mark of a committed Christian is he is preoccupied with his Lord's glory. It's always about the glory of my Lord. And second, from verse 34 to verse 35, the second mark of a committed Christian is that he is the one who has his love shown to the brethren. And then finally, the third mark from verse 36 till the end, verse 38, is his loyalty to his master. And so the three marks of the committed Christian, his unswerving focus on the Lord's glory. Secondly, his unending love for his brethren. And then thirdly, his unfailing loyalty to his master. Nothing to do with any external symbol, but very much ourselves, our life with the Lord. And if you are truly a Christian, you must desire, I want to bear these three marks of a Christian. I am a Christian, I want to be committed, and the Lord Jesus is telling you and I today, first of all, as a committed Christian, our thoughts, our focus, our preoccupation must always be our Lord's glory. How do you know? Look at verse 31 and verse 32. John chapter 13. I ask you, just take account. How many times is the word glorify mentioned here? Verse 31 and verse 32. How many times is the word glorify mentioned here? Just two verses. And you can see for yourself when the Lord Jesus talks about glory. Five times the word glorify is been mentioned just in two verses. And who is to be glorified? Just look at verse 31 and verse 32. Now is the Son of Man glorified. Not the disciple, not Peter. It's the Son of Man glorified. And now God is going to be glorified. The Heavenly Father will be glorified. And then verse 32, again God be glorified. And then God shall glorify him. Who is the him? Jesus Christ. And then they shall straightaway glorify him. And so it's always the glory of who? Five times in just two verses, the instruction the Lord say, now disciples, look here. If you want to be a committed disciple, you want to be a committed Christian, then make sure your whole life's focus, your whole life's theme, your whole motive of your life, your goal in your life, your aim in your life is that you must have the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. The glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what it is mentioned here for us to learn. Now every time we ask ourselves and we pray, Lord, in this worship service, your name be glorified. Right. You go to fellowship meeting, we pray, Lord, your name be glorified. Prayer meeting, the Lord be glorified. You go to outing, we say, Lord, let your name be glorified. What do you mean? Have you asked yourself, what do you mean? The Lord's, your name be glorified in this worship service. Does it mean that there's some extra light coming out? Oh, yeah, God's name is glorified. No, we're not going to see any extra light coming out. What do we mean? When we pray and ask that God, your name be glorified, it simply means that you and I sitting here this afternoon, in this worship service, can see and experience and know the attributes of God. That means, God, your name is glorified. And today, some of us sitting here say, Lord, I know that you are holy God. And some of us sitting here say, Lord, I know you are a merciful God. And God's attribute of His holiness, His mercy, is seen and experienced, and we are touched by it. And that's how God's name is glorified. And so when you talk about, Lord, your name is glorified, it's not just a favorite phrase that we use as a Christian. We are talking about, Lord, some of us sitting here today, all of us can experience and see how good you are. Lord, your love is so wonderful, it touched my heart. And that's how God's name is glorified. And some of us sitting here, if you experience today how good God is towards you, that's how God's name is glorified. And so when we pray, Lord, your name be glorified, and that's exactly what it is here, Lord, your name be glorified, that some of us sitting here today, Lord, can experience and know and desire, Lord, Jesus be glorified. Jesus, you be glorified. And that is the commitment of the Christian. The mark of a committed Christian, I want to see my Lord's name be glorified. And so look at verse 31. Look at verse 31. And what did Jesus say? Now is the Son of Man glorified. Can you see the word now? Now is the Son of Man glorified. Now is the Son of Man glorified. Ponder and ask yourself, after 33 and a half years of earthly ministry, 3.5 years of earthly ministry, 33 years of his life on earth, and Jesus has to suffer all the humiliation, been falsely accused, been despised by people. And then Jesus said, now is the moment I will be glorified. What is the moment? What is the moment? The next day, he's going to die on the cross. You understand that? The next day, Jesus is going to die on the cross, and Jesus said what? Now I will be glorified. That our Lord Jesus has waited for this moment that He is going to die on the cross the next day, give His life, and He said, I am going to be glorified. And so Jesus tied His glory to the cross. Can death on the cross be a glory? Have you ever asked yourself this question? Can death on the cross be a glory? Yes, for the Lord Jesus, it was so. That the cross, when Jesus died, was never a disaster. The cross, when Jesus died for us, was never a disgrace or a shame. And to the Lord Jesus, He reminds us, if you want to glorify me when I die on the cross. Remember how I gave my life for you. Now is the Son of Man glorified. And so when we remember the Lord's death on the cross, then we can give glory to the Lord. And every time you partake the Lord's Supper, do not partake it and take it lightly. Because you're remembering who's death. The Lord Jesus' death. And Jesus said, now I'm going to die and I will be glorified. That we give glory to the Lord. How is Jesus to be glorified? Remember, when we talk about giving glory to the Lord, it's about what? You and I can see the attributes of God. Because at the cross, what do you see? What do you see? Jesus said, I will be glorified. At the cross, you and I can experience what is love. What is truly divine love? Every human love in this earth has a lot of imperfection. But at the cross, we glorify the Lord Jesus because we see perfect love.
pure love, divine love, unconditional love, sacrificial love. And that's how you and I say, glory be to the Lord Jesus. At the cross, you can glorify the Lord Jesus Christ because you see, mercy. How can I, who is condemned, ever be saved? And you see God's mercy stretching His hand to save us. And that's how Jesus is glorified. The love, the divine love, the unfailing mercy. At the cross, Jesus is glorified. What do you see at the cross? What do you see at the cross? Can you not see the wisdom of God to save us? The great plan of salvation that God has for sinners, it was accomplished at the cross. So every time you think of the cross, you can glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you see love, you see mercy, you see the wisdom of God, and how God's plan to save sinners for us. And at the cross, you see how the death of Jesus has destroyed the power of death. Will you not give glory? Just think of the Lord Jesus. Will you not give glory? Give glory to the Lord. And every time you come to worship service, how is your heart's condition? The mark of a committed Christian is he will always give glory to the Lord. His focus is on the Lord. His whole focus and the glory must be in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when you continue in verse 31, and you see, now is the Son of Man glorified. The Lord is going to die on the cross, and He said, now is the time. I waited for this time. I'm going to be glorified at the cross. And then after that, who is next to be glorified? Not the disciples, not any man. And God is glorified in Him, verse 31. So again, the glory is for who? God, the Heavenly Father, will be glorified. Not only Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, will be glorified. The Heavenly Father, God Himself, will also be glorified in Christ at the cross. How is God the Father to be glorified? And then you think of how His divine justice is satisfied at the cross. The punishment has been paid for. And then you think of God, the Heavenly Father, His faithfulness is there for all generations. You know, when man fell into sin, God the Father promised in Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, chapter 3, verse 15, a Savior will come. And all down the ages, God the Heavenly Father was faithful to keep His word. Prepare the nation Israel so that Jesus will be born there. Make sure the Messianic line will not be destroyed by any man, by Satan. God the Father was faithful. And then the Lord came, died on the cross. So the faithfulness of God the Father is there. So every time when you look and you think of God, will you not give glory to the Lord? And that's how the Christian is. Oh, it's our commitment. Our commitment is not myself. It's not my glory. It's not about how big my church is. It's not about what I do for the Lord. My commitment is to see that Jesus, the Heavenly Father, will be glorified. And so, in verse 31, you find that. Then in verse 32, again, you talk about glory. You see, the Lord Jesus' instruction to the disciples is very clear. You want to be a committed Christian, then make sure your focus, your preoccupation is my glory, the Lord's glory. And so in verse 32, if God be glorified in Him, in Christ, God shall also glorify Him in Himself, and shall straightway glorify Him. And what does it mean in verse 32? What it means is that Jesus will be glorified at the cross. And then God shall glorify Him. So this glory of the Lord Jesus will not just stop at the cross. This glory that Jesus received will continue for all ages. And we know that after 3 days, Jesus resurrected. That is the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. After that, He ascended into heaven. That is the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then after that, Jesus exalted in heaven, seated at the right hand of God. Again, it's the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus interceding for us. The glory of Christ. And the Lord Jesus will come again for us. Again in power and glory. The Lord will reign. And that's exactly what it says here in verse 32. God shall also glorify Him. God shall also glorify Him. The Lord Jesus will be glorified for all ages. You know when you sing the Gloria Patri, you know what you sing? You sing the Gloria Patri, and it says what? Glory to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning. It was in the beginning. Glory to the Lord. It is now. And then it shall be ever. World without end. You know what you sing? You're singing glory to God from all ages. Eternity past to eternity in the future. And that's exactly what the Bible tells us in verse 32. God shall glorify him through all ages without end. World without end. And that is what is the mark of the committed Christian. The mark of a committed Christian is to see that God be glorified. The Lord Jesus be glorified. And when the Lord Jesus come back again, the wonderful news is all knees will bow to him. Today in this world, people mock at Christ. People laugh at us. People say, what kind of Christianity we believe in? Are you sure Jesus is real? But one day when Jesus come again, the Bible say in Philippians, all knees will bow to him. All tongues will confess that he is God to the glory of the Father. Do you know what it means? Everyone will have to give glory to the true and living God, to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. If we today, right now, as Christians, and we bear the name of Christ, will not give glory to the Lord, what a shame. Because in the end times, everyone will have to give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is the first mark of a truly committed Christian. His preoccupation is the Lord's glory. Are you a Christian? What is your preoccupation? What occupies your thought? For young people here, is it your computer games? Is it how many high scores you can get? What occupies your thought? Is it my study to make sure I can get my grades, my A's? And when you go to work, what is your preoccupation? Is it my career? The appointment that I'm going to get? The salary? And then when you have children, what occupies your thought? So that my children can continue to do well, give them more tuition, excel in this area, excel in that area. What occupies and preoccupies your thought? A truly committed Christian has his focus, his purpose, his aim only in the Lord Jesus Christ's glory. The glory of God, is it? Let me tell you a story. There's this missionary by the name of Henry Martin. He set sail for India to be a missionary on 16 July 1805, many years back. And he said this word, "Let me burn out for God." And then he went to India and he watched in the Hindu temple. When he arrived in India, he saw people prostrating themselves before all the images and idols. And Henry Martin wrote in his diary, "This excited more horror in me than I can express. He grew totally intolerant of false worship and he said, I could not endure existence if Jesus was not glorified. It would be hell to me." And somebody said to him, "Why so? Why are you so preoccupied with his glory?" And Henry Martin said these words, "If anyone plucks up your eyes, there's no saying why you feel pain. It is feeling, it is you." And he said, "Because I'm one with Christ, then that I'm so deeply wounded." When you're one with Christ, and you're so close to the Lord, and you want to see the Lord's glory, and you see people bowing and worshipping idols, it pains your heart. It grieves you. And you say, "Where is the Lord's glory?" And you want to work, and you want to labor for the Lord. Is that our experience this afternoon? Is that our desire? Is that our preoccupations? And the Lord's telling the disciples, "I'm going away. I'm going to leave this earth. You are going to be my disciples. And when people look at your life, they must see Christ in you because I'm no more around. You're going to give the message. And if your life preoccupation is not my glory, then people will not see Christ in this world." And so that is the first mark of a truly committed Christian, his Lord's glory. Now I want to move on. The second mark of the committed Christian, verse 34 and verse 35. Verse 34 and verse 35. Now before I go to verse 34, let me just say a little about verse 33, that the Lord Jesus addressed the disciples in a very affectionate manner, and he called them little children. You see, the love, the care, this is, remember, the last words of Jesus, the next day he's going to die, and such loving, such affectionate manner, the Lord Jesus addressed the disciples, telling them very clearly, he's going to leave them. These are my final words to you on this earth. It's so important, listen to them. Obey it. And so the Lord said, little children, a little while I will be with you, and then I will have to go away. And you cannot follow me. But now we come to verse 34, verse 35. You and I are very familiar with these two verses. But this is what the Lord is telling the disciple. The second mark of a committed Christian. What is it? A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I love you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one to another. The second mark of a committed Christian is his preoccupation with his love for the brethren. We often talk about Christian love. And I know that you know these two verses very well. You read about it, you heard about it, you memorize it. So basic. It seems so basic, Christian love. But it's very hard to achieve this second mark of a committed Christian. Because love is not a feeling. Love is not just merely an emotion. Love is an act. And to love here, as the Lord said to us, is not easy. But that is the mark of a committed Christian. You know, dearly beloved, as Christians, we have a God-given capacity to love one another. You know that if you are not a Christian, you will not have. But yeah, Christian, the Bible says in Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad in our heart. That means when God's love comes to us, fills us, and we are truly a Christian, when it's shed abroad in our heart, then we have this God-given capacity that we are able to obey this commandment and do it. See? And so what does this commandment tell us? The committed Christian, the Lord say, I give this new commandment to you, that you love who? Love who? Who are we to love? Look at verse 34. Who are we to love? You and I may say, yeah, I love this person beside me. They want to sit around me. Right? This person, that person. Because we are close buddies. We are good friends. Right? We are the same type, same chemistry. I can talk to this person because this person is lovely. We pick and choose whom we love. But Jesus say what in verse 34? That you love one another. One another. One another. It doesn't matter whether this person is educated or not educated. Whether it's old or young. You love one another. So you don't pick and you don't choose. You don't say that because this is a person who is lovely, who is lovable, and who I can talk to, I love. But Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love who? You love one another. One another, one another, one another, one another. Everyone here, one another is how we ought to love one another. So it does not matter whether who the person is, young, old, educated, not educated, whether is that your type or not your type, whether the person is those that are very hygienic, and that suits you, or those that are a little dirty, not hygienic, and those that would like to dig nose maybe. But it doesn't matter whether a person is a healthy person or a person who is sick and who is always has health problem. You love one another. See? You love one another. And that's a mark of a committed Christian. A committed Christian will never say these words, I don't like this person. A committed Christian will never say, I cannot talk to this Christian. I cannot talk to this brother. I will not serve with this sister. A committed Christian will not say this because you obey the Bible commandment and you know that Jesus said, you love one another. Because if you say such words that I cannot serve with this person, I cannot talk to this person, this person sit here, I will sit here, then you have sinned against the Lord and you have broken this commandment that is given to us in John chapter 13 verse 34. Verse 35. Then you have just shown to the Lord, I'm not a committed Christian. Because when we want to be committed to the Lord, then we obey the Lord. See? And then look carefully at verse 34. You love one another. In what way should we love one another? What does the Bible say in verse 34? You love one another as I have loved you. That is the standard. That's how we ought to love one another. Not superficial. As how Jesus has loved us, that's the standard that we ought to give our love to one another. And that's exactly what is given to us here in verse 34. The Bible standard that to love one another, we ought to love unconditionally. We ought to love sacrificially. We ought to love with a forgiving love. We ought to love indiscriminately. We ought to love one another the way Jesus has loved us. Why should we do that? You may ask me. Verse 35 give us the answer. Why must we love one another? And why must we love one another to the extent as how Christ loved us? It's so hard, Lord. It's so hard to live this, to love this brother. It's so hard to really care for this sister. It's not easy. It's against my feelings, against what I am. But the Lord said, love one another as how I love you. Why? Why should we do it this way? Verse 35 gives us the answer. We do it this way. We obey the Lord's commandment because only by this, only the way you love as Christ loved one another, then all men will know that you are my disciples. The Lord gave us a commandment with a reason. And the reason is this. When you can love one another as Christ loves, then the world will identify and see you as a Christian. You are the disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand, dearly beloved? That when we say we want to be a committed Christian, it's not just saying with our mouth, but now really loving one another the way Christ loves us, and then the world will know that we are Jesus' disciples. We are Christians, Christ's disciples. If someone were to walk into our church, a non-Christian, and they see all of us interacting, ask ourselves, will this person be drawn to us and say we are Christians because of the way we love one another? Or will this person come into our church and then he looks into our church and say there are cliques here, there's another group here, they don't talk to each other, they don't seem to care for each other. This person sitting here alone, lonely, and nobody bothers about him. And then what will this person say? I don't see much love in this church. I don't know whether they are really Christians. And that's exactly what Jesus is telling us. Dearly beloved, if you don't love one another, the world will come in and say, I don't see why they should be called Christians. Because there's no love in them for one another. And how sad it is. And so we have to ask the Lord, if I want to be a committed Christian, then I must be committed to love one another as Christ has loved me. I was at Kuching Church last Sunday, and Monday we have our prayer meeting, and one sisters, a lady, the children are, some of the children are not in church, and because the church is having some problems, she shared in the prayer meeting. It's so hard for me to invite my own children to church because of all these troubles in the church. When they come to church and they see the squabbling, the quarreling, they will not come. And so, dearly beloved, we have a duty. We have a commitment to Christ. You are Christian? You want to be a Christian? And you sure you are Christian? Then obey the Lord's commandment. You know, often the people in the church has a lot of bitterness, not so much because of differences in doctrine, very much so because of a lack of love. And people invariably leave the church because they felt humiliated, they felt isolated, they felt no one loved them, they felt people who backslap them, backbite, gossip against them, and they felt discouraged, and they leave the church. And here we are, the Lord reminding the disciples, reminding you and I, the second mark of a committed Christian is love one another as Christ has loved you. I give you two very simple, practical, visible ways to love one another. It's very simple. Number one is this. Learn to say, I'm sorry. Right? Just three words. I am sorry. Because when we interact with one another, somehow, right, we will say words that will hurt others. somehow we will have actions and deeds that will stumble, discourage people. When we interact with one another, there are times we make a promise, we didn't keep our promise. There are times we serve together, we have differences. Sometimes, and we must admit that we are wrong. We can't be always right. And so, if you really love one another, then you must be ready to say, I am sorry. But I'm the elder of the church. How can I say sorry? I'm the Sunday school teacher. I'm the older person in this church. These are younger people. Sometimes we put ourselves in such high pedestal, such status that I refuse to say three simple words. To love one another, I am sorry. And we cannot say this. We cannot put away our pride. And therefore, we cannot reconcile. Secondly, learn to say, I forgive you. Right? You learn to say, I am sorry, and learn to say, I forgive you. Because when you can truly forgive, this is love. When you bear grudges, bitterness, anger, you don't talk to me, I don't talk to you. You don't serve me, I don't serve you. You see? That is a vengeful spirit. But learn to say, I forgive you. Why? Because Christ has forgiven me. I can forgive you. And that is true, practical, visible way to obey what the Lord has given to us in verse 34, verse 35, to love one another. See? And we can say, I forgive you. And that's what Philippians 2, 3 say, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. Do you know that the way to love is humility? It's only when we are humble, we can love. Proud people can never love. And God hates a proud spirit. See? And so the way to love is humility, to regard and see each other better than ourselves. See? This is the second mark of a truly committed Christian. I want you to turn to a verse in Acts chapter 4, verse 32 that describes the early church. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. And there's a beautiful description of the early church, how they truly obey the Lord's commandment here. And that distinguished them as a church. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. And it says here, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. We just stop here. All who believed, they come together in the body of Christ. It was described of them, they were of one heart and one soul. And they have that love one another as Christ has loved you. They have the distinguishing mark of a committed Christian to love one another. This past few days was quite a difficult time for me because there are some brethren that I've got to know dearly overseas. We have fellowship, we have gone close together in the Lord. But recently I was just told, or just happened the last week, that I'm no longer going to be able to be with them. You know, when you are so close, and you're united, as the Bible says, in one heart and one soul. And then you know that, you know, you can still pray for them, but you no longer can join them together. And it really pains my heart. And now I understand what the hymn writer say, blessed be the tie that binds. He say, when we asunder part, it gives us inward pain. And that is, if we can achieve this love for one another, and we have to part, then it gives us inward pain. But so often in the church, when people part, it's because of anger, resentment. People leave the church because they felt a lot of injustice. It's so sad that this happens. But when we look at the Bible, and what the Lord reminds us, of one heart, of one soul, that's what the church is. And that's how the world will recognize we are Christians. We are the Lord's disciples. Alright, I have to move on, and now we come to the third mark of a committed Christian. Verse 36 to verse 38, John chapter 13. What is the third mark of a committed Christian? First of all, his Lord's glory. Second of all, his love for the brethren. And then third of all, his loyalty to his master. His loyalty to the master. And that you can see from verse 36 to verse 38. You see. And here you learn from the life of Peter. See. Now, loyalty to God does not just mean making promises to God. A lot of us make our promise to God, I will do my quiet time, right? After the Ebenezer Youth Camp, you say what? I will do my quiet time. I will witness, I will bring my friend to the meeting. I will go evangelism. I will join the mission. We talk a lot. We say, I will go join and I will come for the church prayer meeting. We talk a lot, we say a lot, but we fail. We fail. We never keep our word to the Lord. We never keep our promise to the Lord. And we gradually forget what we say to the Lord. But the committed Christian does not just merely promise with your mouth, but maintain and practice it. And so when you look at verse 36, what did Peter say to the Lord Jesus? The Lord Jesus said, I'm going to go away. I'm going to the cross, and I'm going back to my heavenly Father. And Peter said in verse 36, Lord, where are you going? Where are you going? He asked the Lord Jesus, where are you going? Whither goest thou? Where are you going? And then Jesus told Peter, where I go, you cannot follow me. Right? I'm going back to my heavenly Father, to heaven. You cannot follow me now. And of course, the Lord told Peter and prophesied that one day, in verse 36, you shall follow me afterwards. Because one day, Peter is going to die and gave his life as a martyr and also to be crucified upside down on the cross. But here, Peter, in verse 37, told the Lord Jesus what? Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Peter was unwilling to accept the Lord Jesus' reply. And he made a great boasting. And he said what? I am going to die for you. I'm going to lay down my life for you. And this is Peter, see. Always very boastful, very rash, very like to brag. And he was saying all this sincerely, but in the flesh. And he's telling the Lord Jesus, I know better than you. You say I cannot follow you, I'm going to prove to you I can follow you. You say I cannot be with you, I'm going to prove to you, Lord Jesus, I'm going to be with you everywhere you go. I'm going to cling on to you. And if I have to die, I will die for you. And that's what Peter said to the Lord Jesus. And so what did Jesus say in verse 38? What did Jesus say in verse 38? In verse 38, the Lord Jesus told Peter, you will deny me three times. You will deny me three times. Peter was sincere, but he was doing it out of the flesh. And Peter is going to learn the lesson, what it means to be a disloyal disciple. And so Peter is going to learn the lesson. Before the cock crow, you will deny me three times. All his boastings, all his promise, all his words that say, Jesus, I will die for you, it means nothing. Loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ is what distinguishes a committed Christian. Loyalty is not just promised loyalty from your words. Loyalty is actual loyalty. There's a big difference, a big gap between what you say and what you do. And so instead of laying down his life and dying for Jesus, Peter protected his own life and denied the Lord three times. I give you three reasons very quickly why Peter was disloyal. He failed in this area. Because the mark of a committed Christian is his loyalty to Christ. And Peter failed. The first reason is because he boasted too much. He talked too much. And he said, Lord, where are you going? I surely can follow you. I can die for you also. He boasted and he talked too much. You know, talk is easy. Sunday school teachers, fellowship group leaders, preachers, we talk a lot. We tell people how to obey God's word. We tell them exactly right what God says. Talk is easy. But when it comes to myself, can I do it? When I was younger, when I prepared a message, I focused very much, wow, I prepared a good message. But now I think and think, if I prepare a message, I ask myself, can I do it? Can I do it? Can I fulfill it? Talk is easy. We all can talk. And that's what Peter did. He can talk. I die for you. I lay down my life for you. But you want to be a loyal disciple, it is not just about talking. Are you able to fulfill what you say to the Lord? So first reason, Peter boasted too much. He talked too much. So much of self-confidence, so much of reliance on himself. He failed. He became a disloyal disciple. Second reason, Peter prayed too little. He prayed too little. You know, when they left this Last Supper, they went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus said to Peter, what? Watch and pray. Pray, Peter. The hour of temptation is coming. It's coming, it's coming. They're going to arrest me. Watch and pray. And what did Peter do? He slept. And Jesus said again, watch and pray. Don't sleep. Second time. Did he take heed the warning? No, he slept again. He was too tired. He prayed too little. Prayer keeps us from sin and from temptation, but Peter didn't pray. He failed in his loyalty. Third reason why Peter failed. We don't have time, but if you look at Matthew chapter 26, verse 56, it tells us that Peter followed Jesus afar off. Jesus was arrested, he was being tortured, beaten, and Peter still loved Jesus. But that loyalty was frail. That loyalty was weak. And so he was following Jesus afar off. For the first time in Jesus' earthly ministry, for 3.5 years, Peter was the closest to the Lord Jesus. Everywhere Jesus go, Peter was there. Everywhere Jesus go, Peter must be the one nearest to him, talk the most. But for the first time, Peter followed Jesus, the Bible says, afar off. Kept a distance from Jesus. I'm afraid if I'm too near to him, people will recognize me. People will arrest me. They will also may kill me. And so he followed Jesus afar off. And because of that, he failed in his loyalty to Christ. He denied the Lord Jesus 3 times. He boasted too much, talked too much, he prayed too little, and he followed Jesus afar off. He willfully followed Jesus afar off. And it was tragic. And the Bible tells us, if you look at Matthew's Gospel, when Peter denied Jesus 3 times, you know what happened? The Lord Jesus knew it. Then the cock crowed. And Jesus turned his head. And afar off, he looked at Peter. I often ask myself, what kind of look did Jesus give to Peter? You know, your own dear disciples betray you, deny you 3 times. And you are suffering, being tortured, and you needed someone to encourage you, and all has fled. And then Peter denied Jesus, and Jesus looked at Peter. Do you know what kind of look? I'm very sure it is not a judgmental look. I'm very sure it's not a look of disgust. I believe when Jesus looked at Peter, it was a look of love, of compassion, of pity. Therefore, Peter, after Jesus looked at him, the Bible says, he cried and he cried and he wept and he ran away. Because he realized that he has betrayed his own master. He has been a disloyal disciple. He failed in what Jesus said. The mark of a committed Christian is his loyalty to his master. This afternoon, how about you and I? What is our loyalty to? Who is our loyalty to? Are we loyal to our master? Have you promised the Lord? Like Peter, do you promise the Lord, I will give my life for you. I will lay down my life for you. Have you promised the Lord? When you are baptized, do you know what you promised the Lord standing here in front of the whole congregation? Let me read this to you. Each one of us who is baptized, we promise the Lord, I will honor, I just read one part. I will honor the Lord's day. That's what you say. I will read my Bible and pray daily. I will strive to live a life that is pleasing to God. I will support the activities of the church. Do you remember you say this? You affirm your faith. You make this promise to the Lord. Do you remember that? Or you have long forgotten what you say to the Lord. But God didn't forget your promise. God didn't forget your promise. Have you been loyal to what you said to the Lord? Have you kept your word? Parents, when you brought your child for infant baptism, do you know what you said and promised the Lord? Let me read to you. You promised to teach your child the way of the Lord, both by doctrine and by example of your life. You promised to pray for your child till he or she comes to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to continue to pray for your child in the faith. And that's your promise to the Lord. Have you been loyal to your promise to the Lord? Like Peter, are you one that just say, Lord, I lay down my life for you, but when the hour of temptation comes, sorry, I forgot about it. You remember what you said to the Lord, your promise to the Lord. You remember at the last church camp, what did you promise the Lord? After you hear all the messages, your spirit is stirred up. What do you promise the Lord? You promised the Lord to bring up your child in the fear of the Lord. What have you been doing with your child? You've been teaching them English, Chinese, math, science, but not the Bible. You've been praying for them to be successful in their studies, but not in their spiritual life. Dearly beloved, what is our loyalty? What is our loyalty? Who is our loyalty to? And I think of that, I tremble. Because I promised the Lord many things in my life. I want to do many things for God. So many times I cannot fulfill my promise to the Lord. So many times I feel so weak in the flesh. I could not want to do more for the Lord. In 1977, when I was secondary 2, I remember the church camp, or the youth camp that we had. The camp theme was, "Oh Jesus, I promise to serve you to the end." And I stand up that year as a secondary 2 boy, and I say to the Lord, "Lord, I promise you, I will serve you till the end." 36 years have passed since that day. I ask myself, have I served the Lord faithfully? Have I kept my word? Have I kept my promise to the Lord? Am I a loyal disciple? And this afternoon, you have to ask yourself the same question. What have you promised God? In your baptism vow? In your prayers? The third mark of a committed Christian is his loyalty to his masters. And so this afternoon, we have learned from God's word the three marks of the committed Christian. You are preoccupied with your Lord's glory. You are preoccupied with your love for the brethren. And finally, you are preoccupied with your loyalty to the Lord. And so I pray that you and I will strive. Because we have not reached it. We have not arrived. We have not been committed. We have not reached the mark yet. We are far from it. And so the point here that I want to conclude is, let us strive on. Let us press on. Let us improve in our commitment. Let us trust the Lord, seek the Lord. Let us improve in these three areas and ask the Lord to help us to be more committed to Him. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we bow in shame because, Lord, we have failed you. So often it is my own glory and not your glory, Lord. So often, Lord, we cannot love one another as you have loved us. And Lord, worst of all, we have failed you in our loyalty because we have loved ourselves and loved the world. This afternoon, Lord, we heard thy word, Lord. And this is your word, Lord. And we pray, Lord, you speak to our hearts. Stir us, Lord. Give us more love, more zeal, more commitment for thy name's sake, for thy cause, Lord. Teach us, Lord. Stir in our heart that commitment for you, Lord. Because, Lord, you are committed to us, Lord. Because, Lord, you love us totally, fully. How can we not love you with all our heart and soul and mind and strength? We pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.